You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.
Well, hi there, everybody. It's me, Joe Thrashenkill, and you're listening to another thrilling episode of the Toilet of Hell radio show. With me, I'm joined by the number one good and golden boy. I'm talking, of course, about 365 Days of Horror. As you know, I'm Jordan. Jordan, how you doing?
Merry week after Christmas, everybody.
Truly the greatest week of the calendar year. Nobody expects anything of you, nor of me. So let's just, you know, have a good time with it, right?
Just a completely lost week for everybody out there.
Yeah, that's okay, though. Like, I don't think we should be expected to do anything, literally anything. I hooked up a new Blu-ray player last night. You know, I intend to go through and enjoy all of my my collection of DVDs and stuff. You know,
your DVDs are gonna go well on your Blu-ray player.
I mean, like, I've got a bunch of Blu-rays that I've collected over the years that some of them play on my Xbox, some of them don't. So I was like, you know what, we're gonna nip this right in the bud. We're gonna watch all of them.
I'm still holding on to the DVDs. I have literally one Blu-ray in my collection, and that's because someone gave it to me. So DVDs all the way for now.
Nothing wrong with that. I've got a healthy DVD collection as well. You know, picked up Sharky's Machine on DVD the other day. Here's hoping it works.
Hey, with all the Blu-rays and the remastered 4K, LMNOP, Ultra stuff, like a lot of original things that may have either been on VHS or DVD extras and extended, whatever, are just gone. Like, they don't bother with them anymore, or the companies putting out these Blu-rays don't own whatever footage that is. So it's just, you might have to go to YouTube and hope someone uploaded it from their old DVD collection if you want to see some featurettes or weird things that kind of don't exist anymore on physical media.
I know. Like, the internet really depends on obsessive nerds to, you know, keep an archive of all this stuff. Otherwise, it's all gone. It's all gone by the wayside. I am a semi-obsessive nerd, which is why I'm still buying DVDs and shit.
Part of it, too, is that on some of these streaming services, if you don't buy this specific, if you're not on Paramount Plus, you can just never see this 30-year-old cartoon series that you enjoy anymore because it's just on that streaming service. And if anyone tries to upload it, they're kicked off of YouTube or Dailymotion or wherever. So it's like you might have to just actually get the physical thing so you can have it because you never know when you might actually be able to see it.
That's right. And, you know, when, you know, there's big media consolidation like we've seen a ton of the last several years, like the rights for things slip through the cracks, you know? You don't know if you're going to be able to watch PCU,
right? I only watched it about 50 times when I was in middle school because it was on HBO literally every day.
And now I own the DVD, which is apparently very rare and out of print. So I can continue watching it ad nauseum. And that's important. That's important.
And as some of these streaming services try to make the aspect ratio fit new TVs so you miss out on jokes like The Simpsons.
Sucks. Yeah, that is absolutely cursed. I hate it. Jordan, I realize this is not the focus of the show, the preservation of film and such.
The Criterion Collection of Toilet of Hell.
How have you been, my friend?
Surviving. How are you?
Likewise, man. I woke up early this morning to the horrific realization that my apartment had flooded in the middle of the night. So I'm not really having a very good day, to be honest with you.
Did you find the culprit of what was flooding?
Yeah, the toilet tank in the guest bathroom had a cracked seal in one of the pumps or some shit. I didn't actually take a look at it, but apparently it'd just been causing water to gush over the top of the tank. I'm going to guess for about 6 hours. So that got into the room that my wife and I use for an office, soaked the living room, soaked the closets, ruined my rugs, so on. Fortunately, I don't own this place. That's really the great news here.
You're enjoying the benefits of apartment living in that someone else has to pay to fix everything, and they fix it fairly quickly.
Yes, they did. I had a couple of guys, working in this unit all day, kind of getting it straightened up. But if you were to actually want to fix this place, you would have to pull up all of the faux wood linoleum, because I can currently see that it's squishy as fuck underneath, and I just don't think anybody's going to do that.
No, it's fixing it enough so it doesn't break again. They don't have to come back.
Right. So in the weeks and months, this will inevitably turn into some kind of spore hazard. But again, I do have to take some comfort in that I don't have to pay for any of that, you know?
Well, when it does start to smell bad, you call them back, and then they will have to rip things up.
That's a good idea. That's this is why I rely on you. You're my right-hand man for all this.
I had to deal with this like 7 years ago, when my apartment flooded because the apartment above mine had some burst pipe and it all just leaked down into mine, and the ceiling collapsed and all the carpets got soaked, and it just reeked of mold like 3 days later. So I've been there. I get it. That's, unfortunately, it's apartment living, but at the same time, it's not coming out of your pocket. You don't have to wait potentially weeks for a contractor to come by and take a look around and say, nope, I can't do it. Sorry.
Yeah.
And, I know it doesn't feel like it now, but you managed to get into the sweet spot of needing something fixed, because it's after Christmas, it's before New Year's, and it's before Texas inevitably plunges into cold darkness like next week.
Yeah, yeah. No, like, I'm trying to get ahead of that, man. I bought one of those 0-degree sleeping bags the other day. So, come and take it, Greg Abbott or whatever.
Just be hopping down the street wearing your sleeping bag to get to Whataburger.
Yeah, pretty much. That's what the future looks like right here. Seems okay to me. What's going on on your end? I know that you're not working right now. Have you found like a video game or like a record or something you're into?
I've literally been doing like nothing. I've already come to the unfortunate understanding that this is just another wasted vacation and a long lines of wasted vacations. I'm laying in bed while watching stuff, and that's about it.
Have you considered watching a little DDP yoga?
I'm going to wait until after New Year's.
Yeah, same. I'm going to quit all my vices after New Year's as well.
I do not feel like doing anything, and there's nowhere really for me to go, and really nothing for me to do. Not going to the movies, not going to a show, so just going to hang out here and feel miserable until it's time to go back to work and I have a purpose once again in life.
That is the wheel we find ourselves upon. Here we are, you mentioned at the end of the year, the sweet spot. This is technically our New Year's show, right?
Sure.
Why not? I know that a thing we've done over the years is we like to take a moment on these episodes and try to make some predictions for the new year. This year has been awfully traumatic in multiple ways. I don't remember any of the predictions we made last year. Do you?
No, but I'm pretty confident that every single one of them was right.
Yeah. I'm sure that we didn't get anything wrong. I think we did say that the pandemic would continue unabated and that multiple musicians from the metal sphere would die of it. And I believe we were correct.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think more just became sick and lived through it than I expected, especially some of these older thrash musicians who are just like, well, it was just a bad flu and it felt like an elephant was sitting on my chest for 6 months, but I'm fine.
I have to go back to Violence, their statement. We were in a super spreader event, lol.
A chilling vision of things to come.
Yeah, I think multiple times throughout the last 2 years, we had predicted or said that Great White was going to go on an unending killing slaughter. And you found a story today. what did you see?
So one of the guys from Great White, Hold on, let me find out exactly which one, because I'm pretty sure it's Jack Russell.
It is Jack Russell, for sure.
It's the dog man himself, Jack Russell.
Pekingese.
Ex-Great White singer Jack Russell says documentary about fatal nightclub fire will receive premiere in February. Now, for those that don't know or don't remember, Great White played a show in West Warwick, Rhode Island, not too far from where I live, at a very small venue where they had pyrotechnics and fireworks shooting off literally into the ceiling. The place was so small, causing a massive fire and killing 100 people, including fans, people who worked at the venue, and I believe people involved with the band as well.
Yeah, I think there were a couple of crew members in there too.
And this was back in 2003, and apparently Jack Russell's killing spree is not over. He is releasing a documentary. He did an interview recently to Tulsa Music Stream. Yes, we all know and love Tulsa Music Stream. He said, "We're supposed to have
a reader.
We're supposed to have a premiere at the Whiskey A Go Go in February, an invitation only thing. I think it comes out on Reels. I believe that is a television channel.
I have literally never heard of Reels in my life.
Stars, Reels, all of those. I think they're going to put it out on Reels. It's not the way we initially wanted it to come out. We wanted it to be more of a movie. We took 3 years shooting this thing. I mean, it was a long time ago. A lot of footage. A lot of footage. I could have my whole biography done with just what's on the cutting room floor, but it's really moving. I haven't seen the finished product yet. I've just seen the trailer, but it's really moving, touching, and it's a beautifully shot piece of film. It lets you know how beautiful music is and how music can heal everything, no matter what people think. There's a certain thing in music that is very healing, and it's helped a lot of people through the aftermath of the fire. Honestly, I haven't been asked a question about the fire in I can't remember how many years now. It's been a long, long time. The public has a short memory, unfortunately. It was something that I hoped that people would remember just because of the nature of it and the fact that we need to take care of ourselves when we're out at places. We need to be conscious of our safety.
I mean, I feel like Great White, this specific incident comes up fairly often whenever there is a concert that, you know, there's a tragedy attached to it. I feel like this is not a thing that has been memory hold, at least not for our ilk. What do you think?
It's almost 20 years now, if you can believe that. So I think with every passing year, less and less people think about it, remember it. I mean, I live close to the place, so it's always in the back of my mind when I go to a concert, you know, be aware of the exits and not be like around people doing stupid things. But I don't know. Does anyone talk about like when people were killed at a Who concert 50 years ago and there was a big rush to the stage and people were crushed to death? Not really. It shows up in like VH1 countdowns.
I remember that being referenced specifically, like with the Travis Scott thing in Houston a couple of months ago. But again, I think these are things are only recounted at the end of things, like this is reminiscent of this concert tragedy or this concert tragedy. So that might be about it.
And in another interview, he said, "I've seen so many videotapes of pyro shooting off in that club with the foam, bigger stuff than we had, and it never happened. Why it happened that night, who knows? I mean, it's like a plane crash. It takes all these little things to fall in line for that one big thing to happen. So the movie gave me the opportunity to talk about how I felt and for me to apologize. Not a guilty apology, but because I just ... I mean, I feel horrible that it happened. I lost a lot of friends that night. A lot of friends. People that I didn't even know who were even there. And people have said, well, he's not remorseful. And they've got to understand when all this went down, my legal team, they said, you cannot ever say you're sorry because it implies guilt. And I'm like, but I am sorry. And they told me, but you can't say it."
Man, I really don't even know what to make about that. That does actually seem like a pretty shitty situation altogether.
Who's receiving money for anything this movie makes? Is it going to the families? Is it going to any sort of fund that was created for the families? Anything?
Yeah, isn't it like illegal to capitalize off of your own crime, like in media properties and stuff?
I think it has to be decided through civil court.
Yeah, I don't know. We really need like a lawyer on this one. I know we got some lawyer listeners. You guys fill in the details in the comments, please. I don't know, man. It's just fucking. I think Great White should probably not exist anymore. I think that's my takeaway from this.
And it's, I mean, there's like Great White, and then there's Jack Russell's Great White. It's an LA gun situation.
Yeah, I know. It's like spreading through mitosis or whatever. It's just a more ample opportunity for disaster. Huge mistake, in my opinion.
And one person whose brother was a bouncer at the nightclub said, "I think it's ruining all the positive strides that we're now making to heal here in Rhode Island. If he wants to help, stay away, shut your mouth." And this was back in 2015.
Seems like those words are probably still relevant today.
And yet.
And yet. I didn't intend to go on a, you know, like a rabbit hole with that one. It's something that seemed relevant at the moment. But bouncing off this,
it's the most relevance Great White has had in 20 years.
Right. Again, you know, you write a top 10 modern rock single. Nobody calls you a hit writer. Instead, they just remember you for all the deaths you caused.
God, why does everyone just focus on the death? Why can't they just be cool?
Do you have any predictions for this upcoming year?
A few. Most of them aren't very bold. They're pretty much like common sense. Like, yeah, that's probably going to happen. More concerts being canceled.
Right.
I think that's pretty obvious that's going to happen. I'm going to say also concerts not being canceled when they should be. I think we're unfortunately past a lot of that, especially for the bigger bands. You're going to have members getting sick and they're going to cancel two or three dates and then just go back to doing what they do. I remember earlier this year, Jonathan Davis from Korn had gotten COVID and they took a couple of days off and then they went back out on tour and he had to do shows sitting down because he was so winded and weak from having COVID. And I think we're going to see a lot more of that for bands that can afford it. They can afford, you know, still going on these big tours. And also you're probably going to see it from some of these bands who can't afford it and just like need to be out there or think they need to be out there and, you know, playing in Scranton on a Tuesday night.
Yeah. I mean, well, it seems like the latest guidance from the government is get over it and get back to work. So if we have to show up to our shitty wage jobs, I mean, you might as well be able to do your concert. Your deathcore band has every right to go on stage at mugshots. as you know, you do have to go to work at fucking FedEx. You know, that seems like it's fair. I don't know. What do you think?
Fatigue is fully set in, and we're just kind of throwing up our hands at this point. Said, fine, go ahead. We don't care anymore. Do whatever you want. We're the fed up parents. That's what we are.
I mean, essentially, over the last week, I know a shit ton of people, like IRL and online, all my online friends, that have gotten COVID. It's like more now than at any point during all of this. So it seems like it's just, you know, everybody's going to get it and nobody's going to step in to try to prevent that. What that means for the future, I kind of have a couple of ideas of what that looks like. On one hand, like it could be a thing where this is just endemic. It's, you know, you have essentially waves of it every year, especially when it gets cold and people get sick, and, you know, people that are immunocompromised, people that are older, it's going to have a much harsher effect on them. The other is that this could be so deeply ingrained that mutations continue and that we are looking at something far more severe than we ever had to begin with. I don't really think either one of those things is ideal, but it's just what I see coming down the pipe.
Well, yeah. We tried bribing people to get vaccinated. We tried giving away guns in some places, and that didn't work. And it's just, this is what it is now.
There's a lot of blame to go around, like, for all of this. But again, I think that my primary ire is on the United States government, the pharmaceutical companies, and every dickhead with a blue check that tried to pretend that COVID wasn't real over the last 2 years.
Yeah,
I think
also a little personal responsibility at this point, right?
At this point, I think personal responsibility is out the window. Like, I think that you can be like I have friends that are triple boosted, sick as a dog right now. Like, I don't know, man. Like, it's it seems like shit's pretty real. Regardless, I think that my friends that are like triple boosted and shit like are gonna have a much better outcome than somebody that has no immunobodies floating around in their bloodstream. But it's still contagious case, right?
Yeah, I mean, I was referring to the people who haven't gotten vaccinated.
Right.
Their personal responsibility.
No, overall, I think we borked it. I think we really messed this one up pretty good.
Well, you didn't. But I didn't. Our listeners didn't. What's this we?
We as living in a society, Jordan, right? We're in a society.
I follow the rules. I wear my seatbelt. I use my left and right turn indicators.
Yeah, and we're all in the same boat, though, still. So you got a clean conscience. That counts for something, probably, right?
Something. It does.
Yeah.
Well, we messed up by not having one of these tech bro companies create the Atlasphere. If you remember from American Gladiators, the big roly balls where they would just walk around.
Yeah, no, my wife was saying the other day, like, you know, like musicians, they should really be able to perform in like a big plastic ball or something. That way they don't have to worry about this. And I was like, oh, I think that you just reinvented the flaming lips.
Hey, that would just get all fogged up and sweaty and smelly.
Oh man, imagining like a crust punk band getting out on the same gross ass ball every night.
But I suppose there is no reason why you couldn't, I don't know, hang some sort of protective tarp between a band and an audience if you wanted to. You know, I don't know how much of a difference it would make, but for all the like wash your hands and sanitize everything in deep clean schools, whatever that means, I'm surprised that didn't happen for entertainment purposes.
I think that for the most part, it was nice that things were like cleaned or whatever, but that all seemed like, you know, kind of security theater, because the real thing that we needed to worry about was like ventilation. I do appreciate that everybody learned how to wash their hands, though. That was good.
Well, now we have people defiantly not washing their hands.
Yeah, come and wash these hands, Obama. So, yeah, aside from pandemic related, I guess everything's related to the pandemic now. Do you have any other predictions for this new year?
I think we're going to have a lot of reunions, a lot of band reunions. God forbid, almost certainly. The band, God forbid, not me saying God forbid, almost certainly. I think they've been circling the wagons for a long time. Doc Coyle did an interview recently where they've kind of hinted at it. And at this point, Bad Wolves probably isn't making as much money as they used to, so why not?
Yeah, you know, legal fees really do take a bite. I saw that Hatred Surge is going to be playing a one-off show at St. Vitus in New York, and I can't imagine it's going to stick at just that one show. So hopefully they'll be getting back together as well. Are there any others you saw rumoring this?
I haven't seen any, but you could honestly pick names out of a hat for like 90s bands, I think, would have a good chance for this. I don't even know if they're together or not, but like Failure, I could see hitting the road, playing shows. Yeah, things like that. Kind of these quote unquote legendary bands that, you know, never really made it big in their own time and have built up some sort of following since they've been gone. Like 108, for example, or Ensign, Earth Crisis, maybe, and like things like that. This kind of crossover, some hardcore, some hard rock, some alt rock. A lot of these bands that, you know, were a name at one point, never huge. I think now is probably a good chance because people not only are hungry to be entertained and to see live music, I think people are now going to be super nostalgic, even more so. Like we had that White Belt Furnace Fest or whatever in Alabama.
It's a gift that keeps on giving for me, man.
I think you're going to see a lot more of that. Some of these late 90s, early 2000s alt-rock one-hit wonder tours that are just going to band together and play summer shows, things like that. I think it's going to happen more, and I'm okay with that because when you think about it, there hasn't been a lot of like new breakout bands.
Oh, absolutely. Even
that,
not
that many just pop artists. It's all, we've been in a holding pattern, like we said, for a couple of years now because things really haven't been able to change and shift and expand, et cetera, et cetera. So I think you're going to get a lot of the, we saw it this year with like Limp Bizkit too, just the, I remember them. I remember breaking stuff to break stuff. I would like to go see that. And I think we're just going to get a lot more of that. We'll see if it's more of that.
I could see a Days of the New reunion followed immediately by Days of the New breaking up again.
Followed by a Tantric reunion.
Oh my God, dude. I mentioned it. I've been watching The Shield. There was a Tantric song like at the ending of season two, and it just made me feel 10 million years old. I know the breakdown.
The one song.
Yeah. I think you're on the right page here. I think that's a bankable prediction. Let's get on the betting sites right now. Let's do it.
And I'm okay with it. That is fine. That is good. Let those bands make a little bit of money while they still can, whether it's through concerts or selling new merch or putting out new music or just making their old stuff more widely available. Go for it. Sell out. Be in a Hyundai commercial. Go ahead.
So I have another prediction for 2022. Is that where? Yes. Complete meltdown of the economy. let me show you where I'm going with this, okay? You know, like, I don't know if you saw, real Fed heads in the House. The Fed is, you know, talking about raising rates up to three times, maybe more, in 2022. The money supply getting a little bit tighter after some pretty reckless, wild-ass spending over the last 2 years. There is concern about the price of consumer goods going up as well. I don't know what to make of that right now. I don't know if that's legit or not. And then there is an entire house of cards being built in tech speculation that is now seen. It was fringe, but it now has seen huge, huge corporations getting involved in it. Everyone from Adidas to Nike to Ubisoft, so on and so forth, surrounding crypto and NFT speculation. Now, Jordan, you're a fairly savvy guy, right?
Yeah, definitely.
As you know, as a savvy guy, can you tell me the utility, you know, why you would want to own, say, an NFT?
Because it's only going to appreciate in value as time goes on.
Exactly. It's just like a Pog or a Beanie Baby or a tulip, or any other very cool thing that you can own. I think that there is so much money being swept up into this house of cards that it went from a bunch of just horrible dudes online mortgaging their futures against this shit to enrich the Winklevoss twins or whatever, to this being a thing that actually materially hurts some of the largest corporations on earth when it all comes crashing down. And I think it might be so severe that it pulls everything down with it. Let me go ahead and speculate a little bit further on this, if that's okay with you. Do you know who Ozzy Osbourne is?
The name sounds familiar.
You know, one of the guys that was working on my my apartment just a little while ago, he said that he owned a club in Birmingham where, you know, Ozzy would hang out and do drugs and stuff. He said he was a pretty cool guy, so, you know, I don't think he would do anything messed up here. But I did see him tweet just this just yesterday. Ozzy, he surely wrote this. I don't think anybody else could do that.
You can tell by the scribbling, shaky handwriting.
Exactly. He says here, I'm launching a fucking NFT project. 9,000.
I'm launching an NFT project.
He says fucking in here. It's only the Prince of Darkness that would use the fuck word. So he says, I'm launching a fucking NFT project. 9,666 unique bats designed by yours truly. Go and follow Crypto Bats NFT and read all about it below. So Ozzy designed 9,666 bat doodles himself, which I have to say, I'm pretty impressed by that. Do you think he's using like a draw pad, or do you think he's like a pen and paper guy?
This is the guy who 20 years ago on his own television show, like, couldn't figure out how to work remotes. And do they really want us to believe that he's sitting there on his iPad sketching out digital pink and purple bats?
Yes.
It's with a Z. It's important to mention.
So these are known as mutant bats with a Z. It says here in the press release via Rolling Stone, thank you, Rolling Stone, the pioneering feature will subsequently allow owners to combine the attributes of two separate projects, making mutant bats a rare offering for NFT collectors. So far, CryptoBats has announced that they will be able to bite the likes of Bored Ape Yacht Club, Sup Ducks, Crypto Toads, and a fourth mystery NFT. This is asinine.
Yeah.
It does not get any more pathetic than this, right? This is surely the nadir of everything America has ever come up with.
That's why I kind of think we're almost at the peak of this. Like, at this point, Ozzy Osbourne is getting in on it. I don't see the wave getting much bigger than where we are now. I think it's going to crest. That being said, I still think all these major companies are going to try to get in on this. I'm not thinking full collapse. I'm thinking more Enron, like one company kind of collapses and gets messed up, and there's shockwaves and reverberations from that. But I think for a lot of these major companies, they have so much money that it's just going to be a write-off for them. It's like when you look at all the products Google has put out in the past 15, 20 years that you just never heard of or completely forgot about, and it's just the Google graveyard, I think it's called. It's going to be like that. Yeah. It's like, oh, well, it didn't work out. No, on to the next thing. It's going to be like metaverse. It's going to be some failure, and people are going to chalk it up to a tax write-off. A couple of people lose their jobs who probably shouldn't have been working on the stuff in the first place, and some dorky tech bros are going to lose money on this nonsense. It's like, I don't think you're going to get too many soccer moms putting all their money into crypto bets.
I mean, I wouldn't think so, but this is a trend that has been accelerating and getting just so much fucking dumber as the days go by. I don't know where it ends, aside from like a ton of people losing their shirts and, you know, me laughing at them for that.
It's like what is it, the Iraqi coin that a
the
lot
dinar.
Of, yeah, the dinar, where people think like, oh, this is when it's finally going to happen. I'm going to buy a million of these. And some right-wing crackpot on my AM radio told me it's only going to go up in value, and now they're all worthless. Like, yeah, it'll get those people, but I think your average person isn't going to go, maybe now's the time to get this JPEG file.
I don't know, man. I saw Waka Flocka Flame posting today that he got his crypto wallet got hacked and he lost who knows how much.
Well, that's a Waka Flocka flaming pile of shit, isn't it?
Yeah, sure is. Sure is. Yeah, I don't know when it ends. Or how much more respect I can lose for somebody that I already had a dwindling amount of respect for.
Does it help to know that Ozzy has like zero involvement on this and this is all Sharon saying, just sign this, Deddy?
It is perhaps a little, it's a horse, it's beaten a little bit, you know, blaming the obnoxious business decisions of Ozzy Osbourne on his wife, but this is a Sharon job for sure.
It's easy money that involves zero work. Like, of course, these people are going to try to capitalize on it, but I think eventually they're going to realize like it doesn't net them that much money and then just going to go away. I don't know. It'll be the sea shanties of 2022, maybe.
I didn't actually see any sea shanties in 2020. I just saw
people talking about it.
Yeah, dumbass bits in like magazines that I'll never read talking about them. Like, you know, I don't know what Mick Sweeney's has to say about this, but I'm never going to fucking know.
Reminds me of this article. I think it was in the New York Times, like fashion section about fashionable Band-Aids. Like 10 years. Years ago, actually more like 12 years ago, I think I saw it, and it was just like, this doesn't exist, you're making all this up. And sure enough, that was never a thing.
You can't buy a Louis Vuitton Band-Aid.
I mean, you might be able to, but yeah, it was just interviewing people who probably either never really exist or were lying to the reporter who just needed to fill their deadline as soon as possible.
Yeah, so essentially the grunge lingo of 2012 or whatever. Do you remember that one?
Yeah, no, I've seen people post a thing on Twitter about it. I don't actually remember it, which is a good way to explain a lot of what happens on Twitter.
Yeah, you know, grunge lingo, fashionable Band-Aids, shanties, health goths.
It's all something someone with a blue check mark just decides to talk about, and people go, oh, yeah, yeah, no, I know about this thing.
Again, I'm just out there every day posting gems from my beautiful mind, just being completely ignored in favor of whatever made-up nonsense these freaks are talking about. It's disappointing, Jordan. We've made it pretty far in this episode to talk about something that I don't know about you, but I am personally dying to talk about.
Is it going to hit you like a wrecking ball?
Yeah, I like that you kind of sang that one like Hank Hill.
I tell you what.
Yeah. Surprise release. Let's see, when this came out the day before Christmas, and as far as I can tell, it is not completely blown up yet, and I think that we're the ones to crack this case wide the fuck open.
By
what
accident.
Is it? How'd you find it?
So in a couple of days, I'm going to be putting out my annual worst album art of the year articles that always does well because people want to see train wrecks as much as possible. And just trying to cover my tracks and my bases as much as possible, I'll hop on to Bandcamp and just look at releases just to find some of these rare, weird things that people obviously put no care into and just throw up onto their Bandcamp. And yeah, it provides a good fodder and makes us all laugh. And on the new releases under the metal section in Bandcamp, I found an album by some band called Lone Wolf. And while normally that wouldn't have made any difference to me, it wouldn't have stood out, what did is the album art, which is a black cover with words Lone Wolf in gray. Underneath it is the word uncovered with a period next to it. And then a big face picture of our good friend Tommy Vexed.
I will say, he chose the name Lone Wolf for this project, using the same typeface that you can see in the Bad Wolves, and I'm wondering if maybe somebody's attorney won't have an issue with that as well.
I will say that Lone Wolf is spelled correctly. There's no ampersands or the letter 3 instead of the letter E. It is spelled in English, so that's nice. It is a little concerning that the big MAGA right-wing fan is going with the name Lone Wolf.
I'm sure that that definitely crossed his mind when thinking about Wolf options for his solo project.
It was either Lone Wolf or Ow.
I think that would have been better, to be honest with you. Uncovered is an 11-track collection of covers.
God damn, who could have predicted?
I have heard a lot from Tommy Vexed, in which he has claimed to have written, I don't know, we're talking about something like 17 albums worth of original material, as well as the original hits from Bad Wolves, right? So I'm a little disappointed that rather than getting one of those genius collections of original material, we're getting this covers collection instead. But you know, at least he has some songs here. This is awful, to be honest. I can't even fake it here. Like the songs he's selected for this are trash.
I think from a business standpoint, in all honesty, this is the smartest move he could possibly do. Obviously, his most success comes from covering the Cranberry song Zombie, and there is a market for putting out popular, well-known songs, but having a soulful, masculine, tough guy voice put onto just squashed down, homogenized, and pasteurized, and cleaned up generic rock music behind it. Disturbed's biggest success is covering The Sounds of Silence. That video has a billion views on it on YouTube. So why not, you know, make a couple of dollars? You'll get your hardcore lunatic fans, and who knows, maybe your cover of Cry Me a River will get some radio play and you'll scam some normal people into buying this album without realizing who and what you are.
No, you just laid down the case right there. It makes total sense when you put it that way. So, you know, if you're looking for, as you mentioned, a soulful, gravelly voice man poem take on Bitch Better Have My Money, you know, it's right here for you. I would honestly very much like to hear an isolated solo track from Mr. Vexed. Because what's on display throughout this record is pretty heavily processed, in my humble opinion. I don't know. You are also a vocalist. What do you think about it?
Oh yeah, this is a lot of studio help. And also, he has his style. He has his one song. You're not hearing Divine Heresy, Failed Creation, Yelling, and Variety. It's all the same. And
yeah,
some of the songs I think do work well with whatever he's trying to do, and some of them are head scratching choices that I don't quite understand.
I don't. Again, we're not the target audience for this.
No.
So you know, we have to look at this from a clear, what is the word for it? Not uncritical, unbiased eye, right?
We could try. So, it's hard.
If you were to take a song like, say, Take Me to Church, I would say is already turned up the man poem sap to about 12 on a 10 dial. But Tommy Vexter is able to take it over that top. So that's impressive in its own regard. Video Games by Lana Del Rey, again, is a song that is already so goddamn angsty without any help. I didn't think it could get any more, but he did it.
Admittedly, not being in this target demographic, I don't know most of these songs. I know the Tears for Fears, which is free on Bandcamp now. Everybody Wants to Rule the World. I can only assume he chose that song because it was the theme song for Dennis Miller Live on HBO 30 years ago.
I did not know that. You're dropping knowledge on me.
I used to watch it when I was younger. Cha-cha. Just not getting any of the references, but laughing at him saying curse words and having Norm Macdonald on.
Ah, that's, yeah, he did have a weird frenemy relationship with Norm. There are, out of all the songs on here, Everybody Wants to Rule the World is clearly the best song.
Welcome to your life. There's no turning back. Even while we sleep, we will find you.
The rest are like pop and hip hop songs, right? More or less.
Yeah, essentially. I mean, like, there's Cry Me a River, a Justin Timberlake song, Wrecking Ball, Miley Cyrus, Bitch Better Have My Money is Rihanna. Look What You Made Me Do is that Lady Gaga?
I don't know.
I gotta look this one up.
Hollywood's Bleeding, that's, what's his name? Post Malone?
Yeah, Look What You Made Me Do is Taylor Swift. I fucked that one up.
Just old middle-aged men struggle to figure out who does what pop song.
I did want to point out the top review.
I noticed it too.
Do you want to go ahead and read that one for me?
Well, there is a number of, there's a little wall on Bandcamp of people who purchase the album, and surprisingly it's not all like men, white men with sunglasses doing little selfies in their pickup trucks, unfortunately. A lot of women, which you know, they might want to look into the accusations against this guy, but
women can be just absolutely huge shitheads too.
Yeah,
we gotta be equal rights here.
Equal shitheads.
Yeah.
So the reviews, love what you did, love what your voice, but the top one right now from X Infinite Death X, which does not sound like someone who would be a Tommy Vex fan, but go figure. Fantastic voice, but dude needs to pull his head out of his arse.
Favorite track, Cry Me a River. I don't really want to give Tommy Vex any money, but it is a name your price album on Bandcamp, so technically speaking, you could give him a quarter and leave your own review. You've earned the right to leave your own review for the price of about 25 cents. And I might just have to do that.
It's one of those things where it would be funny to download it, give him no money, and never listen to it. But that would just shoot him up the Bandcamp charts, wouldn't it? Or have him show up more.
It would. Also, you know, I've got like 200 followers on Bandcamp, and I don't want them all like getting mad at me.
The good news is that someone, presumably a fan, has uploaded all of these songs onto YouTube. Just Google, not Google, just look up on YouTube, Tommy Vex Uncovered, and you can listen to all of these songs, plus a just terrible, terrible version of Nirvana's Heart-Shaped Box.
Man, that one, I'm not a Nirvana fan in the least bit, but that one bummed me out something fierce.
It's one of the best examples of squashing down the rest of the music real low. So the main focus is his vocals, and it has a little bit of that thing that I really hate that a lot of modern movies do with covers, is they'll just slow it down and add some piano. And now it's so heartfelt and beautiful.
This has been one of the worst trends in music going for a long while now. Just making things more grandiose and morose and shittier.
Yeah, so, it makes me cringe every time I hear it. It's like, oh my God, this just smells like Teen Spirit, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't like it, but judging from where we're at on the wall of profile pictures on his Bandcamp page, this has sold more than your record. I'm talking to whoever is out there. It's sold more than your record.
He has a built-in audience.
He does. I will say, though, it is surprising to me that he was able to get his crowd on Bandcamp. I figured that was maybe an abstraction above what fans of, like, you know, radio hard rock would be willing to do to acquire music, right?
I just post on his Instagram and say, follow this link and click download.
I guess that's fair. Maybe I'm overcomplicating the process here.
Just scrolling through the wall of pictures, and the first one I landed on was Patriotic Mama. So there you go.
These profile pictures here are just the greatest hits of people that call me a fucking, I can't actually say the word on Twitter.
And another one I just scrolled on is someone with a picture with Tommy Vexed. So my guess would be that a lot of these are just followers on his Instagram or whatever the right-wing version of Twitter that is popular this week, Gab or Slab or Cuckspace, whatever the fuck. They just came over here, created a profile, and downloaded the album.
Yeah. I got to say, it is an even split between guys with sunglasses in their trucks and women face-tuned within an inch of their lives.
These pictures are quite bright and smooth.
You've never seen a smoother woman in your life.
Yeah, I'm flipping through these. A lot of them are how many albums they've bought? One. How many people are they following? One.
One.
And you know who it is. So, yeah, we've solved this case.
Yep. I'm not going to, like, sit here and pretend that I'm not insanely jealous of what this huge shithead has accomplished, though.
He has, but you know what? He's pigeonholed now for the rest of his life. This is it. There's not going to be a lot more growth. There's not going to be a lot of mainstream success, would be my guess. Probably not going to show up on Conan O'Brien to chat on the couch anytime soon. Who knows? Maybe I'm wrong, but yeah. It's like Aaron Lewis. Like, this is the lot you've cast. There's no getting out of it. It's not even like you said something online and people were mad about it and you had a mea culpa and you've kind of dug your way out of it. No, this is your life now. This is all you have.
Well, as the guy from Toilet of Hell, I cannot sympathize.
It's not negatively affected you in any way.
Who knows? Who knows? I don't know. I found a guy who bought this record. It's a picture of him shooting a pistol. His name is Messer 88. And he has purchased one record that would be Uncovered by Lone Wolf. So don't know what to make of it. Got opinions, got theories, but nothing conclusive just yet. Jordan, I don't want to necessarily beat a dead horse here, you know, although I have threatened every time we talk about this guy to never talk about it again. Is there anything else that you really think we ought to discuss on this show, this the last of 2021, before we dive into the new year? You know, is there anything we need to cleanse ourselves of so we could be fresh going forward?
Well, you're the horse beater. I think you should beat that horse. Put on your brass knuckles, put the bandana across your face, put your hood up, and, you know, punch someone in the back of the head.
Never considered myself a horse beater until just now, but you might have me pegged. No, I think that I'm not much of a New Year's resolution guy. I think that that's a way to set yourself up for failure and such. But I do think that just having a new page of the calendar does give us an opportunity to maybe reflect a little bit, try to consider how we want to do things going in the future. Now, unfortunately, I've signed my life over to a 12-month program, so I can't really change much of anything at this point. But, you know, I do have ideas for things that I would like to maybe do differently. I think for this new year, I would like to try to listen to more genres of music. Generally, when I see cover art that turns me off, I'm just like, fuck this, I'll never listen to you. I think I'd like to maybe change that a little bit and see about listening to some things that I find at least visually, aesthetically off-putting. Okay. How about you? Is there anything that you might want to do?
Nope.
Not a thing.
I am stuck in my rut. My mattress has a nice groove in it that I fit in perfectly, and I'm just going to lay there until I die.
Well, that's also a different way to approach the new year as well. Neither one is right or wrong. We're not making value judgments here. Also, I'm going to put on like 40 pounds of muscle and get insanely shredded.
I'm going to put on 40 pounds.
Yeah. Well, you got to put on the muscle, put on the pounds to get the mass to then chisel it down to perfection. That's how this works.
I'm cultivating mass in my elbows.
Listeners out there, if there's anything that you'd like to resolve for the new year, predictions that you'd like to make, ways of approaching this changing of the seasons, let us know in the comments below. Otherwise, Jordan, is there anything else you want to cover on this one?
No. I'm tired. The past years have beaten me down, and no one seems to care anymore, so I think maybe that's going to be my 2022. Just not caring, because it doesn't seem to bother anyone else. Tired of caring.
Have you considered drugs?
Well, I see how that works out for other people, and I think that just makes me more straight edge.
Okay. I say this every year, and it's not worked out yet, but I'm going to cut down on the amount of drugs used. We'll see.
Just all natural drugs.
Yeah. I mean, if it comes from the earth and is, you know, maybe processed with research chemicals, that makes it natural.
And if it's cut with baby laxatives, that's natural too.
Baby laxatives come from the earth. Where else would we get it? Duh.
Mother Earth. We've seen a bunch of metal bands, musicians, like try to get in on the CBD oil game, and then they move to the NFT game. What's the next game going to be?
Well, I don't know if you have a similar phenomenon in Rhode Island. Is weed legal in Rhode Island?
No. But it's okay. One of those. It's going to be eventually. It's going to follow suit of all the other states surrounding it.
I live in Texas where it will not be legal anytime soon for any reason. But the people in the state have found a loophole when they're making something called Delta 8 and also Delta 9 THC, which is colloquially around here known as gas station weed. It will get you high as hell. Nobody's really sure what's in it or what it's doing to your brain or anything like that.
Oh, so it's spice or K2.
It's not spice because that's entirely synthetic, and this is like actual weed plants grown with the regular THC isolated to be this weird gray area legal THC. And I think that it... It is, though legally gray, you've got a Wild West moment to have your GWAR branded gas station weed.
Does it smell like weed?
I don't know because I can't do it because it still shows up on a piss test just like regular weed.
Well, perhaps in the next year you can find that special something that allows you to do what you want to do and not get in trouble for it.
That's all we're really looking for.
Well, I'm also looking for it to not smell and for people to not be obnoxious about it, but that's not going to happen.
By decree, people can only do edibles now.
And you don't have to talk about it. You don't have to tell me that you did them. Just have a nice day.
We're going to find a way to make you relax. As a matter of fact, I think DDP can help.
I am going to die with my fists clenched in rage.
There is that option too.
Die screaming and thrashing. Shut up! Shut up! Ah, my heart.
on that note, is there any music you'd like to play on this show?
Actually, let me look up, because there is, oddly enough, we get lots of emails from bands. Lots and lots and lots of emails.
Oh, holy shit, yeah.
from PR people, from labels, from bands, from musicians, from people who just send us links with nothing else. We're never going to open them. We're never going to click on them, just so you know. But there
was
one.
You could even say, like, this is my band. That would help.
Something. Anything. But there was one email that we got, unfortunately, after we had all posted our top albums of 2021. Because if I had known about this earlier, it might have made it just on, like, the novelty and funness of it. The band is called Pizza Death, and they're from Australia, and it's literally pizza thrash. Like, they lean into all the pizza puns and references. The art is amazing. It's a giant piece of pizza that's like a monster over a city growling and attacking planes. And what I love most about this is that they have a ton of samples of just pizza-related stuff for movies, including from Spaceballs, from Sopranos, and from The Simpsons. So, Pizza Death Band, 666.bandcamp.com. There's a shout-out for them.
All right, we'll play some of this. I know you sent me an email with this band a little while back. I didn't listen to it at the time because I was, like, moving and stuff, but I will say the artwork on this did blow me away. So be sure to click on the Bandcamp link in the description to get a full view of that one. It's sick tight. And I think that's it for us. Let's go and get the fuck out of here.
Bye.
What kind of pizza you guys want?
Yeah, we'll have one with everything but anchovies and one with my all-time favorite topping, anchovies.
Anchovies fucking rule.
You put anchovies on this thing and you're in big trouble, okay?
You're listening to 66.6 FM. Radio TOVH. The Flush.